Hello, everyone, and welcome to Money Minute with Margarita. I'm Margarita Chang, the host of this podcast, and I am so excited to present to you our special guest, Allison Youngblood. She is here to talk about ERC. And so let's learn a little bit about Allison. Allison is a highly experienced consultant and advisor with over 20 years of leadership experience. Her expertise lies in assisting businesses and individuals in enhancing their profitability, expanding their revenues, and identifying resources for reinvestment. With her extensive background, she can offer valuable guidance and support to those seeking to improve their business or personal endeavors. Her dedication to becoming an expert on the Employee Retention Credit, otherwise known as ERC, shows her commitment to staying current with relevant developments in the business landscape. When not advising business owners on the nuanced tax program, she enjoys serving local nonprofits and charitable organizations from her home base in Sunny Isles Beach, Florida. Well, welcome, Allison, and thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having me, Margarita. I'm looking really forward to our talk today.
So I think the first thing that our listeners would want to know, we try not to use so many acronyms without explaining what they are. So what is the ERC?
Margarita, the ERC at its most simple is a COVID payroll refund. So for businesses who were able to keep their employees on payroll during the pandemic, which would be 2020 and 2021 for this program, it's a refund of a portion of that payroll, depending on how many quarters you're actually eligible for, will determine the amount that your business would be able to receive back. Now, the maximum amount for this program is about $26,000 per full-time W-2. Most businesses, if they, you know, are eligible, are only going to be eligible for about $10,000 per full-time W-2, realistically.
Now, thank you for that. And as mentioned, when you and I connected, I told you, and I'm in several networking groups, one in particular, women entrepreneurs, and many of us have been receiving a lot of calls. So what makes a business eligible for this program?
Well, a lot of people have heard about this program, but they don't really understand the true eligibility. They've heard they had to be shut down or they had to have significant reductions in revenue. And that is true. There are two paths to eligibility. And the first way, and the way that I see most businesses be eligible, is if there is a government order in place that limited commerce, travel, or group meetings, and their business had significant impacts because of those government orders that they had to make changes to their operations, lost in-person meetings, maybe had, you know, temporary shutdowns of certain divisions, had to make shifts and pivots, then they would be eligible during the period of time that that government order was in place. Now, let's say you were in a state or an area where the government orders were not very restrictive and you didn't have to make any changes to your operations. The other way to be eligible, and this is how most accountants and CPAs are familiar with the program, is that you would have had to, for 2020, you would have had to have a 50% reduction in revenue over your revenues in 2019. And then for 2021, it's actually looked at quarter by quarter compared to 2019. And any quarter of 2021 that had a 20% reduction in revenue compared to 2019, you would be eligible for those quarters.
That's super helpful. There's a lot of confusion. I think it's so important for people to seek help of qualified professionals. So can you be eligible for ERC if you received PPP and PPP, Paycheck Protection Program? So if you receive PPP, are you automatically disqualified or do you lose eligibility?
No, so that's a myth. Now, you can't double dip. So most of the PPP loans were forgiven, and so they were considered a grant, and they are a sister program to this. And the PPP typically was a applied to your payroll in either 8 weeks, 12 weeks, or 24 weeks increments. So when you look at ERC, you look at how the PPP was applied to your payroll, you figure out the amount of time that you were eligible, and then for those weeks that the PPP was applied to your payroll, you just zero those out. So it's not that you're not eligible, it's just you're not eligible for the same time periods. So potentially, if you got one round of PPP, all of 2021 potentially could still be available to you. And then that last quarter potentially of 2020.
So it really does depend on your situation, how long your business was affected, what type of business. When does this program expire? When is the deadline to take advantage of the employee retention credits or ERC?
There is a lot of information out there, and there are a lot of people telling you rush, 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 you know, time is ending. But realistically, this program has been extended about 11 times, and you actually have until April of 2024 to file for ERC for your 2020 funds. And you have until April 25th, 2025 to file for 2021. So you actually have some time to do the due diligence, to look at this from a high level and close up and figure out if you're realistically eligible for these funds. And I encourage every business in America that had W-2 employees to at least consider looking into this program, because there is a good chance they could recover some of these funds.
So this question comes up, businesses, but how about nonprofit organizations? I mean, they are businesses.
We work with nonprofits every single day, and they were actually some of the most impacted industries because so many of them offer services to communities, to schools, to religious spaces. They lost their ability to function in vast ways. So it really depends on if they had limitations to their commerce, their travel, their group meetings, or they had revenue reductions. They are the same as an American business, even if they don't pay taxes like most American businesses do.
That is super helpful, because I know during the deepest, darkest days of the pandemic, you know, nonprofits were in a situation of increased demand for their services. Absolutely. And a short supply of volunteers and donations. It was, they felt crunched.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I've helped, I mean, some really phenomenal organizations in every state you can think of: Guam, Alaska, Puerto Rico. And so, you know, they were really impacted by this pandemic, and having this resource available to them has really been life-giving.
So as we wind down our conversation, some people, they're skeptics. Oh my gosh, that sounds like a lot of work. Sounds too good to be true. Sounds risky. What are some of the risks involved in pursuing the employee retention credit? Like, do I have to redo my paperwork? Is it worth it?
I would say it's absolutely worth looking into. And if you have a quality experience provider, then the risk is going to be very low for you, because you're going to either be eligible or you're not. And that comes down to reviewing your operations, your revenues, and your payroll. And it's about that simple. The risk involved are to use a provider who is not skilled and doesn't offset your PPP, which would be a huge red flag for the IRS, because that would be fraudulent activity, or to not, when you receive this fund. So if you receive the employee retention credit, it is a refund of some of your payroll from 2020 and 2021. And the most important thing to take into consideration for a business is that if that payroll was used as an expense on your 2020 and 2021 corporate tax filings, and then it gets refunded to you, you no longer have that deduction. So you're going to have to go back and amend that line item of your previously filed return so that your books are kept accurate. So I think that's probably the biggest risk involved, and the thing that people don't realize they're going to have to do is go back and amend those returns. We typically find when a business is eligible that they still net extremely positive, even with having to make those adjustments. But those are things that they're going to want to take into consideration before they cash those employee retention credit checks.
Well, thank you for that. So listen, if anyone has questions and they want to learn more, how can they reach out to you? So here's the opportunity for you to share website, social media handle, email, if that's appropriate.
Yes. So, Margarita, I would love to help anyone who has questions or wanted to know if they potentially could be eligible. You're welcome to reach out to me on LinkedIn. It's Allison Youngblood, ERC advisor at Bottom Line. My email is ayoungblood@bottomlinesavings.com. You're welcome to shoot me an email and we can look into your organization. Every state, every industry, every business is different. So if you've been told you don't qualify or you're not eligible, I highly recommend you have someone who really knows this program to look at your particular filing, because it really is more nuanced and expansive than most people realize.
Well, thank you so much, Allison Youngblood. We really appreciate you sharing your insight and expertise about the Employee Retention Credit with our listeners. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Margarita. You have a great day.